the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Saham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through direct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything,
we will end suffering.
If ending suffering is not more important than anything,
we will not end suffering.
If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering.
We are not here to create and cling to beliefs.
We are here to pay attention.
We are here to use everything in our experience
to see how we cause ourselves to suffer,
so we can drop that and end suffering.
And for folks who are new to practice, there are back checks over by the back door, if you'd like to meet one of those. What should we look at this morning? So, Cleo.
I've been looking at the peace quote that's on the board. And it's one by Pablo Casals. And it talks about getting up every morning and playing Bach.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes I just read something and it bypasses the head and it goes right to the heart. And that was one of those quotes.
Just bypass the head, right to your heart.
And the thing that hit me was, I just get emotional just thinking about it. It's like when he talked about it being a benediction to the house every morning when he rose. And it reminded me of a quote a couple days earlier in Transform Your Life by Rumi, when he talks about each of us wake up every morning empty and frightened. Do not go to your study and read, but take down the dulcimer and let the beauty that you love be what you do. And
so that sort of struck the same chord.
It struck the same chord. So to speak. And this one I'm seeing about that, of course, you know, right away it came up, oh, every morning when I wake up I need to, you know, play some Bach in my room.
Yeah, with your grand piano and
and then I saw that you know, I think acts of service have to be like these huge things that I are hard and involve a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. Are sort of a big do.
A big do.
Yeah.
And I saw that making my first act in the morning an act of benediction did more than bless my heritage. It blesses the world and it blesses all of us.
So have the first thing you do in the morning be whatever calls to you as an act of benediction, and in that it's blessing your hermitage and way beyond that.
It just extends, and it just felt like, wow, what a contribution to world peace with that attitude of mind each of us had every morning, that I'm performing a benediction for all. And of course, you know, the mind didn't want to go with, well, what would that be, you know?
Let's make it so. Let's go into the little book of standards that conditioning offers us. Figure it out.
And one thing, of course, that arose is sitting as an act of benediction when I awoke. And boy, there's somebody that would not have said that, you know, a couple of years ago. But it is definitely something that my heart is called to do.
Sitting meditation. Just.
And then I'm doing the 30-day retreat, and I'm at the point where it said to choose an area of kindness to bring to your life every day.
Yes.
And that one always stumbles me up a little bit, you know. And this morning when I woke up, it just was like there. An act of kindness would be to be kind to this person upon awakening, no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what. No matter what is present.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I could see that as an act of integration.
Yes, and it's right back to the Rumi quote, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Where you're doing what you love.
Yes.
And letting what you love be what you do.
Yes.
And in that is the benediction.
Yes. And I was just remembering how so many years, you know, waking up with that empty, frightened feeling and thinking that I had to wait for something to change. I knew it was not how I wanted to wake up. And I thought I had to fix myself.
Yeah, believing somehow something was wrong and you needed to do something in order to get to that place that it sounds like you're getting to now.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm just seeing that, oh, it's something I practice. It's something I practice every morning to bring that to my life. It's not something that I wait to have descend on me.
Yes. Yeah. You have the choice.
I have the choice. Practice. Practice that benediction. Practice that awakening. You know, how it is, what I want to bring to my waking in the morning. So,
big kindness.
So, big kindness. So I'm just really grateful for it.
And it's interesting because the number of things you've mentioned that all come together there, whether it's the 30-day retreat from the book, Making a Change for Good, or the quote from Casals, or Rumi, or practice.
Practice.
Simply practice.
Practice.
Yeah. Jim.
This seems related to me. I have kind of a practice of coming here on Sunday mornings and talking about what's going on.
Yes.
And it always helps to get it outside of me.
Yes.
It's, for me, it's part of what we say with the daily recollection of homage to the Sangha, taking refuge in the Sangha.
Yeah. This being the Sangha.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw something. I've been talking about, I don't think I've used these words, but it's this kind of loop that I seem to be stuck in. It's just a cycle that I go through virtually every day. And I saw it today, clearly. Yay. And it's a cycle of success and failure. Okay, it's just a dualistic thing. It's I can see the arc through the day, and it's with rare exception very constant
and very predictable.
Yeah,
it sounds
very
like
predictable. And I've had little ability, it seems, to affect it. Some part of me wanting to get rid of it fast, but I haven't seen it for that. I haven't seen it as simply a duality. As a pendulum swinging. Okay, and I wake up and the failure of the night before, and the success is a reaction to that failure. So I get to be, I'm a good person in the morning, and pretty good up until then, and then it heads downhill, and I'm a failure by the time I go to bed. I wake up in failure.
In the failure.
I don't sleep well. I wake up in failure. I resolve, it's the background cycle. And I resolve. And so success, failure, it just goes round and round and round.
And
it is so fun to see it.
It's so fun to see it. That's what I was going to say. It seems so huge that you are recognizing a pattern in your life that repeats daily.
Yeah.
And that has been sort of completely out of your control.
Well, it seems I get so caught up with what I'm succeeding at and failing at.
Yeah, so let's say the content.
Of success and failure.
Yes.
That I don't see. I haven't seen it as a really fairly simple thing. And and I saw it this morning. And so the question for myself is, how long, how much longer am I willing to put this person through that?
To be there believing,
yeah,
I am a failure.
Yeah.
It's true. And I can do better.
Yeah.
Watch me.
Watch me.
Just for about 4 hours, it sounds like.
So that piece, that one of the piece quotes, a part of the Sarah Teasdale, about, and I can't remember it exactly, but anytime you look for something lovely, you'll find it. You'll always find it.
Yes. Yeah, that's quite a statement, isn't it?
Yes. And it, that just went right to my heart, because that to me is that. That mentor.
Yeah.
The wisdom, love, and compassion. That is always there.
It's always available.
Yeah.
And can find lovely just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or success, if we want to call it. Yeah. So. To be continued.
To be continued.
Alex, did I see your hand?
Yeah, it was, I was responding to the juxtaposition of all those things that come together, and then this morning becomes a juxtaposition of all these things that everybody else is bringing that come together that relate and somehow. So when I was hearing the benediction to the hermitage or the the house. I got there was something that was similar to me. There was a Zen teacher who had come to America and gave all these things that he practiced and did. The way it's stated is that he did these things for the rest for his life. And he said that he was doing these things and he was actually doing them. And one of the things he said was that he would light incense and sit before dressing. And when that was shared about the flame of Bakhtiyut, I got that was like, gosh, one of the most vulnerable places that I can end up being is at the end of the day, going to sleep, in that period of time where there, it's anything goes, it's like conditioning can do whatever darn well pleases.
Yeah, you're kind of off guard.
Kind of going off into like that territory where it's like, well, I hope I can, be here while I'm sleeping too, being a sitter. And I've always wondered why it was so important for me to consider meditating before going to sleep and right upon waking. And I, no one ever said that's the thing to do, but it just kept. Whatever I would do a best year yet, which is the process that we do of setting goals, that's one of the things that keeps coming up year after year, and it's a wonder how conditioning really makes a case for not doing that.
You're way too tired. It's just no.
And the morning, it's either there's too much to do, or maybe another hour. In bed or something like that. And then
right. I really need
hour
more rest.
That. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, oh, look at the time. I actually do have to get up.
So in some way, you've seen for a long time that sitting last thing of the day, first thing of the day, would be really good, and somehow get talked out of it a lot.
Yeah, well, it's something that I watch how the conditioning just comes up. And even though it's funny because there'd be these patterns where, for a while I can manage to do one or both or the other, and, watch how I think that's what this practice is really about, is seeing how it is that I set about doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if there was any doubt about whether conditioning exists or the voices have their way with us, it's just doing a simple thing like saying, I'm going to do this, and watching everything in the world that the voices say or do when conditions come up and try to stop me from doing that.
Yes, yes. There is a being who wants to do something, and there is this static that gets in the way.
Yeah.
That tries to stop it.
Yes, yeah. And that's what I really appreciated about setting up the kindness for my life, that it would be something that, like, I've never heard it before in the framework of, this is a way to say something about my life and my intention, and that I'm going to try to do this because I care about this person, and that I care about the world, and I care about, you know, a whole lot of stuff, that I'm going to try to do this for myself.
Yeah, yeah. So it's giving you a different perspective, a different way of considering it, that it sounds like, feels like it might make it more doable.
Yeah, well, it's bigger. It's like a... It's a much bigger perspective than this, because, you know, it always gets framed as, I'm going to conquer this thing. I'm going to actually accomplish this.
You know,
and it's like the self-discipline aspect of it, you know, the compassionate aspect gets left out of that, and it's almost like, I'm going to beat this person into doing something kind.
Yeah, you will be kind.
You will be kind. You will like being kind. It just misses. It's amazing how it comes in with that and becomes believable, and I just don't catch that. And I keep and practices the practice of catching the more and more subtle layers of how conditioning sneaks into every little thing that the heart says about
me. Yeah, kind of like the pattern that was being described.
Yes.
Failure, success, and how that keeps seeing that.
Yes. Yeah. That's where it becomes a game. You know,
yes.
Where the practice becomes the game to play, to see how it. Okay, there.
Yeah,
now
becomes something that's fun rather than something to survive.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And it just takes it out of the. This is what, you know, it's doing this to me. I can't get it. It's too hard. I should do this. I'm a good person, but it just takes it. It just keeps taking it one step back.
All that kind of language that it seems to be designed to make us resist it.
Yes.
You know? You should. It'll be really good for you.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you if you don't.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, back off.
Right. Well, you can do it then. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Very neat.
Have some hands over here, I thought. Yes.
A comment that I heard, I'm taking is such a gift for me today. How many times am I going to put myself through that again? It's so simply said, but it's so huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it really spoke to something that you look at and sort of appreciating
the same unloving things to ourselves over and over.
Yeah. How many times am I going to put myself through this?
Yeah.
Or allow myself to be put through this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very concise thing that I can keep in my heart. And in my heart.
Yeah. Thank you.
I so appreciate this conversation and looking at Sangha, supportive Sangha, and a perception or perspective shift I've had in the last 3 or 4 days. And there's sort of a sequence of events that the support of Sangha just really inspired me and allowed me to see this shift, a huge, massive shift in suffering for me. And it sort of started Tuesday night at the radio show, and we had the interview with the Awareness Junkie Man.
Yes.
And I just never laughed so hard. I so identify. I think there's a little, for me, I'll speak from my experience, a little Awareness Junkie Man in me. And at home in my other world, sometimes I had so many practice reminders going, I look like a lit up Christmas tree. Some days it's kind of crazy.
Studying with an Awareness Junkie.
And he's just become such a great mentor for me and a great model. And then he had this aspiration to walk across the bridge if he gets enough sponsorship. And money for me just has always been just such a huge area of suffering and huge area of resistance, and just in the hands of conditioning, really, just till recently. And I have monthly donations in place, and I've got other things supporting this practice, and it just struck me that I want to sponsor Awareness Jumping Man. That's something I really, the heart is, I really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just saw conditioning come in and get out the ledger and the calculator and the...
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, let's go with this figure, and then the whole day it's just, wow, yeah, that's way... You're already getting way too much, and, you know, money's going to run out, and, you know, we're going to be homeless behind Walmart someday, and all these stories, and so I kind of sat with that, and then the blog came out, Sherry's blog.
Mm-hmm.
And she just ramped it up again, and she's just, you know, extolling the virtues of Sangha and support and being inspired. And then she's, I'll be willing to match donations, and I'm like, yeah. And my heart just right there, just like, we'll match it. That's it.
Uh-huh.
And we wrote the check, and then conditioning went absolutely haywire. It went off the charts. I was like, wow, and I'm going to post the note with the donation. And conditioning is having it, and it's like this little tug of war, and it's like the heart goes, we post it, we leave, we do not come back into the dining hall until it's gone. That is the plan. Because conditioning has taken notes off the board. I have noted and gone, well, why is this note in my pocket? My goodness, this is a heart note. So it got taken off the board, thank goodness. And
not by you.
No. Not by Ego. Ego wanted it off the board. And then it was just really beautiful. Another part of my heart said, I think our monthly donations are coming up, and this training period I've been on has been most incredibly supportive and deepening, and it's like, well, let's just, you know, we've got some more resources, let's double that. And then conditioning went absolutely double haywire, like, what? We just made this Junkie Man donation. We're not going back to the monthly donor stuff. And I sat with that for a day, and then it was like, before I know it, I'm posting a note, doubling the donations to the monthly Peace Center, because that's what the heart wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, what came up for me, I don't know if anyone sees, but 20 years ago I saw this movie with Richard Dreyfuss, and I might be really, it's what I believe I saw 20 years ago. I'll put it out there. If anyone's seen the movie recently, then I'm off track. But it's Whose Life Is It Anyway? And I believe he's terminally ill. I believe he's dying. And I believe he has all these external influences telling him how to live his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing, my goodness, my financial has been in the hands of conditioning for almost forever.
Telling you how to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you where it should be. And then this is the giant ship, the big ship. I was sitting after I had done this, and all of a sudden it went, the heart literally just whispered and said, it's not my money. In huge quotations, my money. And I just went, wow, it's not my money.
Yeah.
It's money that has come through me. And I'm just a steward. I'm a stewardship. I have now this ability to direct it wherever I feel is most supportive in the way I want my heart. And I was in guidance the other day, and the guide said, you know, what a wonderful thing when our financial resources come in the guidance of the heart as opposed to the hands of conditioning.
Yes.
And that is the huge shift I've seen.
Yeah.
It's not this ownership that I, because that's conditioning. It's me, mine, and ours. It's just like, it's this clutch and grab, and I can.
Yeah, it's the clutching. It's the clutching, the making sure thing. I've got enough. And
yeah. And the future, oh my God, there's this, that, and the other thing. And it was so freeing to know that I can listen to my heart and be guided by it and take action and not buy into that stories and urgency and panic and anxiety and fear and just the landslide of backlash I got.
Yeah.
And I went, oh well.
Yeah. And it sounds like really having experience in that whole scenario of hearing your heart and of hearing the distinction between what was really coming from someplace other than all of the accountants in the head.
Yes. I think as I go further into this practice, the heart whispers are getting more, I'm hearing them clearer, appreciating their wisdom and their guidance, whereas the poor with just so much racket going on, I never heard any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the awareness, or you have the practice.
Yeah, and catching on at the same time to the unhelpfulness of the conditioning that we walk around with.
The unhelpfulness. So my little mini junkie awareness man is just hoping dearly that he reaches his goal and I get to witness his jaunt across the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone in me that really would be excited to see my hero.
Yes.
Might get his autograph. Cape, goggles, tights, and utility belt.
Right, and the, what is it, HD?
the horse pucky
detector.
Radar, HPD,
Yeah.
So, I'm very excited to meet him in person.
Good. Very good. And for folks, I'm kind of assuming everybody knows, but we have a huge event, the annual Bridge Walk coming up, and a big piece of what's going on right now is Awareness Junkie Man, who is a person who you probably heard him or seen him before, who just really supports practice with so many ideas of ways to be reminded to do practice. And he has made a He's offered people that if he raises a certain amount of money, he will actually appear in person at the bridge walk and walk across the Golden Gate Bridge. So when we talk about Awareness Junkie Man, that's who we're talking about. June?
And his alias is right here in the room.
His alias is right here. Yes. Yes. Well disguised as a monk. So what else? Yes?
My hands are sweating, my heart is beating out of my chest. And when posed the question, what is coming up today, I didn't have an answer at first. And then my nose started to run.
Mm.
And just the act of getting up in this room and having to walk across the room and get a tissue brought up all kinds of conditioning, voices, etc. How was I going to do that? I was going to interrupt everybody. Don't get up. Just let your nose run. It'll be okay. Deal with it.
Deal with it. Yeah. Don't move.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't move. Terrible, rotten things will happen to you. If you move.
Yeah.
And then, you know, noticed someone else in the room get a tissue, and so then suddenly it was okay, or oh, okay, yes, I can get a tissue, and then finally did get the tissue, and this relief. But then what that brought up was how difficult, or how much comes in the way of just taking care of myself, just taking care of very simple.
Yes.
Myself.
All I want to do is get a tissue look at everything that gets told to me. To try to make it not okay to take care of myself in that way.
Yes. And noticing since I've arrived yesterday that all of that has come up with almost every action of taking care of myself.
Yeah.
You know, eating. How do I get the plates? How do I put food on the plate? You know, these very, what seem to be very simple acts suddenly become, conditioning has me convinced that they're terrifying.
Yes. You've got to be very, very careful. The world is full of landmines, and,
yes.
I mean, sort of figuratively.
Yes.
And you're hearing all of that and seeing it.
Yes.
And speaking.
Yes.
I can imagine that it might have had a few things to say about a decision to speak.
Yes. Even when I decided to make that decision to speak, that's when the body changes happened, and I noticed the palms sweating and the heart, and can feel my face getting flushed. And
You know, I think one of the tweets, those little messages on the message board, the little short ones are tweets that Sherry sends out. I think one of the ones today is, this is a hero's journey. To go up against it in the way you're going up against it is extraordinary.
Yeah.
I've seen that the more I am able to accept where I am, the less I'm in that same spot.
So the more you're able to accept where you are, then you're not there anymore.
Correct, yeah. Uh-huh. The whole thing changes to be something else.
Mm.
Something that's acceptable instead of not.
Yeah. Do you know how you do that?
Part of it I noticed is guidance. I noticed there was a general announcement, something that I had done, that I noticed conditioning took to mean that I was a bad person.
Okay, so there was some kind of announcement, please don't do whatever.
Yes.
And you heard it. Something
I heard it as Jeffrey. We're talking directly to you.
Yes, we're pretending it's about somebody else.
Right. And what I saw, I had the opportunity to go for a walk after that had happened, and was really stunned by something beautiful.
Mm.
Which opened me up enough to see that those guidances are my connection to life. There's a reason that conditioning is fighting them so much.
Uh-huh.
And that all is metaphorical, that it's just getting guidance. There are things that conditioning is fighting all the time.
Yes.
That are my real connection to life.
Life's guidance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I find if I can accept that I am a person who does XYZ, then I don't really know that there's a correlation. I feel less of a pull to do XYZ, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the more acceptable it is, the more I. It's really that the resistance is holding the identity there.
Yes.
For me.
Yeah. And then as soon as you hear this guidance and you have an opening related maybe to something else, but it takes you to a place of, yes, I am a person who walks in the dining hall with my shoes on sometimes or whatever.
Yeah.
And in that acceptance, you can sense that it's probably not going to happen a whole lot anymore, in a way. Is that kind of it?
Yes. It was by removing the duality of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the person who walks in the hall with my shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to be the person who never does that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And if I just take away the I'm never going to do that part, if it's just okay that I'm doing this and noticing and doing that and noticing.
Yeah.
If I take away the other half, the first half just seems to crumble and fall.
Yeah, and would it be fair to say that you've taken away the there is something wrong?
Very fair.
If there's nothing wrong, where's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's implicit. There's something wrong with my shoes on in the kitchen.
I'm going to fix it. Yes.
Yeah. And as soon as I stop trying to fix it, it's like, maybe I'll do that again. Maybe
I'm
gonna look and see.
That's what practice is all about.
Yeah, I'm seeing that more and more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Michael, did I see your hand?
Yes. Thank you. I was thinking earlier of this thing that is kind of the arc that goes through my day.
The equivalent of the, yes.
Maybe, possibly. Mm-hmm. I highly suspect I have a total equivalent. And that reminded me of this.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, maybe not. But it's this thing that, it's like it's someone who's here. A lot, and it's this thing that I do, And there's, while I'm doing it, I'm suffering. And it always ends up in disappointment, because there's this, the person who's doing it wants something. And it always turns out that it hasn't happened. It
doesn't work out that way.
It doesn't work out that way.
Mm-hmm. And so you're doing something and suffering as you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting commentary?
Yeah, I must be.
About how you should be doing what you're doing.
Not aware of the commentary, yeah.
Yeah, but you're aware of the suffering.
Yeah.
And it also, whatever it is that's being done is in pursuit of something that you think you want.
Yeah.
And then you don't get it. And so you wind up in disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like basically a depression state that goes along with it. And it's like the second I start doing this, like that, in that moment, depression enters. It's like if there's not a delay, there's not a, sometimes, you know, it's 100%. And
it's like they're paired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's one and the same.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that's motivating not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that the key is maybe acceptance and like loving myself while it's going on. And finding the kind of the motivation to do that,
mm-hmm.
has seeming difficult.
Yeah, it sounds like, does it feel like kind of an automatic pilot happens?
Yeah.
That there's some decision that's made, okay, I'm going to do whatever. And from there, it's just, maybe even before that, it's an automatic pilot.
Yeah, and it also seems like I really want, this is what I really want to do. Or there's a part of me who really wants to do this.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's like, it seems, it, well, yeah, I could remove the it seems like and just say I really want to do this.
Uh-huh.
So I really want to do it. And so it's like autopilot. It's me.
In those moments.
Yeah.
It feels like completely you. And there's nobody around saying, hey, you know what happened last time and the time before that and the other 1,650 times before that? This doesn't seem to get where you want to get.
But,
Yeah, and because it's not surprising. It seems to me that depression would be right there with it, given the predictable outcome.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Because it's like, this is a depressed person because this person never gets what he wants.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. I haven't thought of that. Yeah, and there's also this kind of aspect with it of how the thing of you'll be kind and you'll like it. Like, so... Well, how I relate to that is, in that retreat, there's this kindness practice, and I've had, I mean...
The retreat at the back of the book,
yeah,
Making a Change.
The self-guided retreat, there's a day where you identify an area of your life in which kindness is lacking, and...
Mm-hmm.
You'll bring kindness to that for the rest of the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had just the most incredible things, seen the most incredible things, and had the most incredible experiences through doing that. So it's like I should do that with this.
Mm.
And So it's like, because then it won't be, then it'll go away.
Which is what somebody would like to have happen.
Yeah, which is really interesting, because if I actually do it, in my experience, either, I mean, it will go away.
If you do the kindness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting thing there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds a lot like a suffering maintenance system.
Yeah.
And now it sounds like you can see some ways to perhaps interrupt it, but...
Yeah. Can you...
Kindness,
yeah. It works.
Where in that arc could some kindness sneak in that wouldn't be, you know, an immediate cause of resistance? Probably nowhere, but it'd be fun to, just because resistance does that.
Yeah, maybe I can have reminders for myself. Maybe that could be the thing that goes in my pocket. It says, I never get what I want, you know. Let's look at the record of that type of
thing. Yeah, yeah.
And other things.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it might be interesting to try, he never gets what he wants.
Yeah.
Just to get a little bit of...
Yeah.
Because he's not, he doesn't have anybody taking care of him. The part of you who...
Yeah, he never gets what he wants.
He never gets what he wants, and he never gets anybody taking care of him, concerned for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's depressed.
I would be.
So there's something that I've been wanting guidance on, and the voices are telling me this isn't the right forum for it, because this is there's nothing wrong with your retreat, and everything that you talk about has to be in that category.
Uh-huh, and this isn't about anything going on in your life.
Right. But I'm gonna talk about it anyway. Mm-hmm. I was with my mom and my nephew the other day, and he had lost a tooth, and so we were talking about that, and I said, "Oh, did you get money from the tooth fairy?" And he said, "Yeah," and I said, "There was this time where I lost a tooth, and the tooth fairy forgot to come." And I was kind of joking, you know, but I realized later that wasn't a very kind thing to say with my mother right there.
Because she's the one.
She's the one who forgot. Yeah, right. And I knew that. Even as a kid, I knew that she was the tooth fairy and she forgot, you know. Mm-hmm. And it really shocked me that had come out. Because it just, when I realized it, like, it just seemed so unkind.
And because this may be a leap, but you figured your mother knew exactly why you had made that comment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was a little dig. Uh-huh. You know, like, you weren't a good mother. Uh-huh. Even though that's not true. Mm-hmm. So I started, when I realized that, I started to feel bad about it. You know, I started to feel guilty. Like
some comments.
Yeah. Like, how could you say that to, you know, in front of your mother? And and so I decided to, instead of going down that road, to look at the person who, you know, was hurting from that experience. Mm-hmm. You know, like the person who... She felt like she was neglected. She felt unloved and forgotten. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was still hurting, mm-hmm. because otherwise, you know, it wouldn't have come up, mm-hmm. now 30 years later. So I put some money under my pillow that night. With interest, you know. And wrote myself a card saying, you know, I'll never forget you and I love you. And And it was, it, that felt really great, you know, to, because I could see so easily just going down the road of feeling guilty and terrible, like I'm a terrible person for saying that in front of my mother.
Yeah, when in a way you didn't say it, it came from an old hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what, one part that I felt like I wanted guidance on was, I mean, I don't know if it was, if there was any, if there's anyone else involved. I mean, the person who decided to say this in front of my mother and get that little dig in, mm-hmm. I don't think is the little girl who was hurt. I think it was somebody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's maybe a subpersonality, maybe like an older subpersonality that was trying mm-hmm. to kind of be protective of the little girl, or if that's just conditioning being a jerk.
Mm-hmm. And what, where are you with it now, other than trying to figure out exactly what it was? And where, given what you did, the, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of, I project, healing that took place, mm-hmm. where are you with the whole deal?
Well, I felt so good after I took care of myself in that way, you know. Mm-hmm. And I stopped obsessing about, you know, that was so unkind and, you know, you're a terrible yes. person and, you know, yes. you have to call your mother right now and tell her that you're sorry. And,
right.
you know, that stopped. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, maybe... That's all there
sounds
is to
like
it.
You got all the guidance you needed.
Okay.
You know, because that just seemed like so perfect. Mm-hmm. A perfect way to address the pain that obviously had lingered around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And okay.
Good. All right, thank you.
We got a bit more time. Anybody else?
So this is my first time practicing ever, and I walked into the room today just a little bit of a, well, definitely, you know, open to what I was going to experience. Mm-hmm. And I came to this retreat because one of the issues is, you know, around beating myself up, around right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And we'd been told last night, okay, here's what you do, here's how it's going to go, and so we'd already been briefed. And I came into the room and remembered certain things, and my meditation began, and counting, breathing, and all of a sudden my leg falls asleep. Mm. And I'm going, is that my leg falling asleep? I think that's my leg falling asleep. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't remember what to do. Kept trying more, go back to counting, you know. Counting, and it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. Mm. It was so bad, I didn't know what to do. And I see, you know, the bell rang, and I had this huge sense of relief. But then I couldn't remember. Everybody started, you know, we said the prayer, and then we started moving, and I literally couldn't move. I was that asleep, I couldn't move, and I thought, but I was told what to do, and I don't remember what to do. And it was sort of like this process of like this mini beat myself up session when really we're here to try and not do that. And I'm like, I'm stupid, I don't know what to do. You know, and everybody's down there waiting for me, and I can't move my leg. I don't remember, and it's awful.
Yeah, yeah. Coming here to learn how not to beat yourself up, and you wind up in a situation where it's as bad as it's ever been, it sounds like.
Well, you know, in a situation where you're here to, yeah, definitely resolve something or try to work on something, I found that it just, it was right there.
Yeah, which is kind of perfect. that it's right there. It's exactly what you came to work with. And it's kind of totally in your face. Mm-hmm. And there will be a lot of opportunities in the course of the coming week to look at all of that. And one of the things that your facilitators will probably be encouraging a lot for everybody is to consider that those beings are coming not from you, but from conditioning. They're coming from a process that, well, you probably heard it this morning, goes on for all of us. And seeing it is one of the really big steps toward being able to kind of not claim it, but to begin to see how it works. Does that make sense? And that whole, just as a number of other people have been talking about, what's being said to them about how could you, and what's the matter with you, and you should know, and that's actually not the person themselves saying that to themselves. It's the conditioned voices doing what they do for all of us as much as they can, it seems like.
I'm hoping for a, you know, wipe the slate clean with the next meditation, kind of see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what might that look like?
I don't know, because I was so concerned about what was happening with my leg falling asleep that I think that I don't even know what I was supposed to have experienced in the first place with meditation, you know, so I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just more be able to, you know, count to 10 and start all over and just be more focused.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Doing this right, or what I was told to do.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Trying really hard to do that thing that you're actually here to look at. How can you not do so much of it? And that's what we do in meditation, too, is we get to see how we do what we do. And so wishing to get to 10, because that's what, that's sort of a goal that could seem like a possibility. And then watching what gets in the way between 1 and 10. And so it's the leg falling asleep and all kinds of commentary that goes on about the leg falling asleep. And that, seeing that, is really a huge step in beginning to be able to not be as controlled by it.
I was reading in the guidebook, or the guest book,
mm-hmm.
The Sitting Still.
Yeah.
I just love that, because that's what she's talking about, is it's
really
not that you're sitting, it's the moments, it's what's happening between 1 and 10.
Yeah.
And that's what your what the goal is, really, is to take a look at that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're seeing how the minds of conditioned human beings work and beginning to get some gaps. Every now and then, there's a gap. Like, oh. And it starts up and you can see it again. But everything you described, you were there for that sit. Mm-hmm. And we're here to do awareness practice. You were being aware all the way through the sit of everything that was going on with you.
So I'm very new to this spiritual world, mm-hmm. I may say. This was my very first experience with sitting as well, and I was expecting it with much interest. Didn't know what was expecting me.
Mm-hmm.
And then felt pretty easy. I mean, I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't feel my body. But I had just a lot of stories passing my consciousness that were not really important. But one thing that came up is I was thinking about my friends and people I know would be observing me.
Mm-hmm.
And this triggered like something, what are you doing here? You don't need that. This is kind of, you should be strong, you're a strong person. This is kind of
This is for weak people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, these thoughts came up.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm aware that I'm a person that I think I have to meet very high standards, and I set the standards very high myself. Mm-hmm. And especially for others, I have to meet the standards. They look at me at I wanted to be looked at. Uh-huh. So this was coming up. I thought this was a very interesting thing.
That a lot of the feelings that were coming up were coming out of what you imagined your friends might be saying about your being here, doing this sitting practice, yes. Being at this retreat. Mm-hmm. Is there one? Because you, in the course of the week, you'll be hearing, there will be a lot that will, I think, be helpful in looking at exactly what you're looking at. That idea that we often will shape our behavior based on what we think other people want us to do. And it's going to get really interesting. It's going to continue to be interesting. Yeah. We'll be addressing exactly the kinds of things you're looking at. Thank you. So, Claire.
I just wanted to say I appreciated knowing that getting up to get a Kleenex was an act of service. And I just wanted to...
never know, do we?
And I have those similar... karmic dispositions, you know. My nose is not running. I am not going to, you know, get up and be a moving target in the room, you know. Uh-huh. And
because, and it's that same thing of what other people will think about what
exactly.
I'm doing.
And to see that is not a kindness to this person or to anyone else. Mm. And that indeed, being kind is what frees us all to be kind.
Yes, yes.
And, you know,
it models kindness.
To model kindness and to, you know, to not be in that fear is what gives us all the permission to not be in that fear.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that.
Yeah, I saw as you were saying that kindness does not necessarily mean staying small.
Mm-hmm. Does not mean staying small. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And it's the kindness that gets spread all around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, it just comes back to that thing where, you know, being at service doesn't mean doing great, gigantic things necessarily.
Right, just going a few steps to get
only get a Kleenex.
Yeah. That's great. That's our time. Thank you all.